Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, you heard the man, two in the books, one to go, final hour of the show. It is Brian and myself up until the top of the hour as we continue to kick it with you and get through your workday and the drive home for the most part. Talking about some baseball because, yes, Lamont, baseball matters. It's the winter meetings, it's free agency, it's the Astros. There's a lot of stories to be uncovered and told, and so now we're going to transition back to some Texans, but it's what we do.
You should start a show called Baseball Matters. Yeah. I think that would take off.
Yeah, I think Lamont would be a frequent tuner-inner.
You think so?
Oh, no, I don't, because he tweeted and said, oh, are you guys back on football? I tuned out and ejected because you're talking about baseball at this time of the year. Yeah. Because the winter meeting started Monday. Because Alex Bregman's a free agent. Because they're talking about trading Kyle Tucker. It's kind of important.
Yeah, show's not, I mean, look, football's my favorite sport, but the show's not called Around the NFL. There's going to be times where we talk about other things, even during football season.
No question. And with that being said, BMAC, and you and Jeremy would be the first two to tell me if I was off base. Used a baseball reference there. But from a football perspective, I did catch some of the Dolphins game against the Jets. And look, to the Jets' credit, they didn't look like they had folded up their tents and gone home. Rodgers actually threw over 300 yards. They showed like they were competitive. But the Dolphins are starting to play some good football, especially offensively. And the more that I watched them and Tua, and he had fire in his belly and the way they came back, and you know they've got just a potent offense with all that speed, you're not going to have his ease. I kept thinking to myself, as much as when DJ made the prediction, look, they're going to win the Dallas game, the Jacksonville game, the Tennessee game, and then we'll talk. And then they didn't. And from the flip side, we knew all season long how difficult this next stretch of three games was going to be. But the kind of thought process was, well, they'll probably beat Miami, and hopefully they'll have a chance to win one of the other two games. And I kept saying to myself, I just have this Houston kind of feeling that they are going to pee down their leg. They're going to drop the next three, and they're going to have to beat Tennessee and Tennessee to win the division.
Man, yeah, so you're coming to this from a same old Texans point of view.
I don't want to, but I can't help but do it.
They just got embarrassed by the Titans. It's a perfectly reasonable mindset to be in. I mean, they got embarrassed by the Texans. They almost choked it and gave it up against the Jaguars. I know technically the Jaguars never had the ball with a chance to take the lead, so that was never, I guess, technically in peril, but it felt pretty bad there.
You never felt comfortable, right?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, never felt comfortable or good. So I get the kind of PTSD from the Texans last 23 seasons kicking in and leading someone to a mindset of the same old Texans. But I don't know if the Dolphins are the team that I'm getting my Texans angst all worked up over, because I get that they're on a little run strictly from they've won more games than they've lost since Tua's come back. But you look at who they beat. I mean, it's not like there's no good wins. They do have a win over the Rams in that time period. But the rest of their wins are against the Raiders, the Patriots, and then the Jets at home. I mean, that's three bad football teams.
But do you think that if they had
Tua
all season long, they'd be in this predicament? Because I think they'd be a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go through and look at the games that they lost that think they could actually win. Like, they might have won at the Seahawks. They probably would have won at home against the Titans. So there's definitely maybe at the Colts. So there's definitely a couple more wins in there had Tua not been hurt and missed, six, seven games?
Yeah, and I think that also from the perspective, Brian, of they did not look stellar in either the Tennessee or the Jags game. I thought that their defense was better than their offense against Dallas. But I think that overall, if you can't really make statements and dominate against Tennessee and Jacksonville, you're going to tell me that without your quarterback of the defense that is so key towards stopping the run and getting in the backfield and running all over the middle of the field, you're going to stop the Dolphins with...
The Dolphins don't really look to run, though. I mean,
but I'm saying the middle of the field, we've talked about this, whether they do crossing routes, whether Jonnu Smith is going to be a factor, you know, kind of in the middle of the field. They love to pepper the middle of the field with a bunch of receivers and a bunch of routes and a lot of passes, and you're not exactly going to have the best lineup of linebackers. Your corners are okay, assuming that, you know, you're going to have both Lassiter.
You like your top two, for sure.
Yeah, and Stingley. But overall, I'm concerned about the fact that they love to go over the middle, and without Aziz, and I'm not one of the ones counting on a Christian Harris, and Tuo Tolo is not exactly blazing speed fast or athletic in that regard, that coverage is going to be a problem for me.
Yeah, I give the Jonnu one. Like, Jonnu, and I mean, he didn't have many catches in the last game, even though he had the game winner against the Jets. Jonnu's been really good for them, and that's kind of been how the Dolphins have moved the ball, because they're not getting the deep shots to Waddle and Tyreek. It's been a lot of Devon Achane and a lot of Jonnu Smith over the middle. And so I'll give you the worry about, okay, you could have used Aziz to guard Jonnu, and Jonnu's actually probably a better athlete than Aziz anyway, so that could have been a problem. But, like, overall, for the rest of the Dolphins crew, like, I mean, if you're talking about Waddle or Tyreek going over the middle, I mean, name any Texans linebacker in history. None of those guys are guarding Tyreek and Waddle if the Dolphins are able to motion guys into running routes on their Texans linebackers. So with Aziz, without Aziz, that concern to me is really no different. I understand the concern about Jonnu, but if you lose the game because Jonnu Smith beats you, then, like, I mean, you're just not that good of a team, in my opinion.
But we're talking about running backs with speed that can wheel route and they can get out of the backfield. They can get the ball in space, and you're going to have a problem.
Aziz isn't keeping up with Devon Achane either way, though.
Seen him, based on the read he gets off the snap, that he can get to the edge, he can get into the backfield pretty quickly to where at least he can slow down or alter backs out of the backfield so that other guys can, if they have to come in and help finish the deal. But he is athletic enough, and he is, you know, speedy enough to where we've seen him all year wreak havoc in the backfield that could possibly slow that stuff down. I don't have the same kind of feeling about the remaining guys on this roster, whether it's Neville Hewitt or Tuo Tolo or, you know, other guys that they might throw in there. That really concerns me just in that game specifically. But then when you look at the three-game set, you look at Baltimore, who's had your number. They're getting ready to ramp it up, but yet you've got someone that's been a huge problem for you to stop in the past in Derrick Henry, but now they're actually throwing the football more to where that can be a problem. And because of the fact that their pass defense isn't good, that'd be great if this was last year's Texans, but we just got done talking about the fact that the Texans have struggled to run their passing game the way they want to because CJ doesn't have enough time.
Yeah, I just, like, I Aziz has been great against the run, but the Dolphins aren't really going to try to beat you with the run. Devon Achane's not a between the tackles runner. I mean, right now the Dolphins rank 24th in rushing yards, under 4 yards per carry as a team. Now, some of that you could attribute to, well, Tua's out and they're going to load the box, but, I mean, Raheem Mostert's 1,000 years old. They've got the rookie from Tennessee in there. Devon Achane's not really an every down back. They don't have the big hammer like a Saquon or a Derrick Henry or a Josh Jacobs that you would really, in my opinion at least, worry about abusing you consistently all game long through the running game. Now, could Devon Achane split out and burn a guy deep if he gets matched up on a linebacker? Definitely. That's definitely a concern. But I guess my overall point, and this is where it goes back to it, is that would be the same even if Aziz was in the lineup. If Aziz gets matched up on Devon Achane, Achane wins. If he gets matched up on Waddle or Tyreek, he wins. I am concerned about Jonnu, but, man, I not to say the same thing that I said a few minutes ago, but if Jonnu beats you, then maybe you're just not a good team. I think that's a point where you just kind of got to move on and go, maybe this team wasn't as good as I thought it was.
So you keep focused on the Dolphins part of this, but I'm saying for the next three games, I just have this feeling that they're going to do this. They're going to lose all three games.
Well, I'm focused on the Dolphins because I don't think they're going to lose to the Dolphins. Like, I'm with you. They're probably 90% going to lose to the Chiefs and the Ravens. I will 100% go with you there. I do think they beat the Dolphins, and if they do, and you look at the other side of this as far as the Texans and what's in front of them, wrapping up the division – Same weekend, this weekend, the Colts have to go to Denver and play the, mm-hmm. the Broncos at Mile High. If those goes those games go, Texans win at home, Broncos win over the home over the Colts, the division's over. And even if you do get spanked by the Chiefs and the Ravens, it doesn't matter. The division's
you don't want them to back up into the playoffs, but it doesn't matter as long as you get there. I get that. But my point is that as much as at the start of the year I felt like they're going to have a fighting chance, I was assuming at home they were going to beat the Dolphins mm-hmm. and that they were going to be in it and have a chance to win Christmas, especially at home against Baltimore. And yeah, the weather's going to be a factor in Kansas City. But I thought that, you know, as a great barometer for where they are, that they would be in a competitive game with the Chiefs. Now I look at it and go, my God, I've just got a sick feeling in my stomach that they're not playing great football. And because of the fact, like we mentioned in the Miami game specifically, but you're not going to have Aziz for all three games, that factors into a defense that's been your calling card.
Yeah, and I do share a lot of that concern. Like, this team was a team I thought was going to win 11 games, that was going to get to the AFC Championship game. I have nowhere near that level of confidence in this team right now. I don't remember specifically, you know, any preseason thoughts on the Chiefs and the Ravens matchup, but I definitely think they're going to lose those games now. Like, I'm not as confident in this team. The receiving options outside of Nico have not come through. Dalton Schultz has taken a major step back. The offensive line has obviously played poorly. CJ's even had bouts of inaccuracy. The defense has come up little at times, like they did against the Titans, giving up a ton of yardage and points in that game. There's just a lot that's taken a step back for the Texans that's given me less confidence for this tough stretch. Though I will say, specifically the Chiefs, even in all their wins, I believe only one of them was a two-score margin. The Chiefs are playing
mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Essentially every game as a one-score margin. I saw someone put up a graphic what the NFL records would be if you flip the result in every one-score game, and the Chiefs would be like 2-12 right now if you flip the score in every one-score game. So the Chiefs, even though I think they are by far the better team and they're going to win the game, especially since it's at Arrowhead, I don't know if they blow the Texans out just because the Chiefs aren't blowing anyone out right now. But I do think the Texans lose that game.
Yeah, it's a conversation that we had the other day. I mean, it is the most volatile conversation you can have right now. Are the Chiefs good or are they lucky? And are they going to falter or are they going to get better? Because I'm of the belief
that they're lucky and good.
Yeah, and I think that they still have Mahomes. They still have a defense that travels, that I think that they have the ability. They are sitting in a position where you can call them whatever you want. They've only got one loss. And they have a chance to get better because their running backs are now getting healthy. Pacheco's getting back into the swing of things. I mean, sure, D-Hop is still getting kind of full swing into the offense, but he's contributing. They have enough to where you don't want to face them in the playoffs, and there's no one that would be scratching their temple going, how'd they do that if they make it to the Super Bowl again?
I worry about the receiving options. Like, D-Hop has had a couple of good games, but it's been pretty up and down. And after that, we've seen Kelce kind of, I don't know, just disappear at times. Now, he did disappear a lot last season, and then they got to the postseason, and suddenly he's the best tight end in the league again. So, that's certainly something that could play out. But without Rashee Rice available, Xavier Worthy hasn't really developed at the rate that I thought he would. Juju Smith-Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins, just a lot of kind of old and just the guys out there at receiver for them. So I worry about them facing a team that can score and put up some points, that if they're going to be able to keep up with the limitations of their passing game. But Pacheco coming back and allowing them to maybe play a more run-heavy game certainly helps.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I just have a funny feeling that you're right. They could still win the division, and I hope that Denver beats the Colts and puts the Colts out of their misery, and, you know, we don't have to worry about the division and they're going to be a playoff team, but you still don't want to limp in no matter what, and you want to play good football in these next three games in 11 days. And I think that right now because other teams are going through the same situation and other broadcasters are calling it a 10-day span.
Yeah, people can't do math.
Steelers had the same setup because they're on the same schedule as the Texans and with the national TV on the same day, especially the Christmas Eve game. And they're still saying 10 days. But I just don't want to limp into the playoffs. I would rather.
Want your team playing their best football
of the year. And I think this team is too talented.
Into the postseason.
It'd be one thing if you're overachieving, right? If you are Denver to some degree or teams that are on the come up, but they're not there yet. But when you look at this Texans team, I just feel like they should, all season long, they have been underachieving.
See, that's an interesting point, because I think overall I agree with your take there that they're underachieving. But, I mean, right now, I mean, going into the season, I think you had them at 9 wins. Well, depends on which time we talked. But
right.
9 or
I
10.
I started at 9. I let you guys talk me into the fact that I had said 10. Went to 10. Then I was like, yeah, no, I think I'll stick with my original 9.
But right now with the Texans' record 8-5, I mean, I obviously Chiefs, Ravens, there's a lot of difficult things in play here. But beating the Dolphins, beating the Titans to get to 10 wins – in the number you projected is very much in play. Would you still say that they're underachieving? Even if, I mean, I get the idea that they're playing worse than we thought, but if they still get to the record that you projected, is that underachieving?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's a distinction that doesn't matter. But I think the way that they get the way you think
it's kind of the Chiefs discussion all over again. But it's how are you getting the wins, right? Like, are you beating the teams you're supposed to beat? Are you beating them significantly? Or are you just getting by? And we watch this team way too closely anyway. It's just for me that, yeah, we can talk about it just purely from the W's and the L's. But at the end of the day, you'd like to see the meat behind the
potato. Style,
yeah,
the style
exactly.
Points.
The style points, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, all right. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We've got other questions for you with the Texans. Look, we know that part of the reason why we've had this conversation today about the identity of the Texans, and DeMeco was talking about it, and we thought it was more of a defensive-minded and run football team. What's it going to take to be a passing team next season? Does the loss of Diggs mean to you that they need, and because Tank hasn't been what Tank has been, I forget Brian's exact term for it, but we're not going to revisit that.
Disappearing act.
A disappearing act. Will he reappear? Or will we need Houdini to bring us a new receiver next year? Do the Texans need another receiver? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue to roll on. It's the Joel and Brian version of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy had to step out a little early, do a little ever-loving Cougs basketball action. So BMAC and myself are going to take you all the way to the top of the hour as we were kicking around some Texans topics, got some responses. Brandon T. says the Texans are going to beat the Chiefs. I mean, I like your confidence level, but I can't tell you that I feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I get the Chiefs have looked bad and probably should have like 3 fewer wins, but it's still at Arrowhead. And the Chiefs defense is still elite. The Texans haven't shown, this version of the Texans at least, it hasn't shown that they can win on the road in bad weather, cold weather situations. Look at the Jets game last year, obviously.
You're not the Dolphins in terms of how bad you are when it's under or around 32, but you ain't great.
No, I mean, and they've won in the cold weather before, but not this group of Texans. I mean, the 2008 win, I mean, over your Packers stands out, but that's a long time ago.
Packers weren't great at that time.
No, yeah, it was Rodgers, what, second year?
I think so.
Or first year starting, but like third year in the league, whatever it was.
Yeah. Pessimistic Chad says, Tyreek, Waddle, A-Chain scares me. The Texans defense doesn't handle that speed well, and the middle's going to be uber vulnerable, not to mention the Texans' affinity for missed tackles. I think, that's where...
missed tackles does worry me,
big, too, because of the fact that Azeez is really good in the tackling.
Right. He's probably your best guy at tackling. Now, thankfully, the secondary tackles, you don't really necessarily want to have to rely on your corners and safeties to be making the tackles, because that means they're picking up a chunk of yards before they got to them. But there is that. What they mentioned with speed is definitely a concern. Like, I know I disagree with part of what you said about over the middle, but the overall speed of the Dolphins is, I mean, because that's how they've been built. I mean, what Mike McDaniel's done there is just stack speed on speed on speed. And I don't have a ton of worry about Stingley, although Tyreek can outrun him. But Kamari Lassiter was obviously someone in the draft process that everyone said, like, the question is, you know, his top end straight line speed. He's more of a box guy because of that. And Tyreek and Waddle, if put in a situation, can run right by him. So that's going to be something.
Any update on Petrie? Because Petrie would help you a lot in a lot of
circumstances. You don't want him deep, though. Like, what is he doing?
No, I'm not saying
doing?
In coverage, but I'm saying in terms of the tackling, the first part of that.
Yeah, the tackling in the box, kind of playing a linebacker role, that would help. But
plus putting pressure on Tua, because you know, look, it's part of the game, and he's been through a lot. But you want
concussions?
Yeah, and so, you know, he's going to be hyper-cautious, too. But the best way to beat the Dolphins is if you can get to Tua.
I'm not saying hurt him. Just get to him. Get home. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that about any team, though. The best way to beat any team is to get to the quarterback.
But he's
going to
be. I think he's going to be a little. You saw it the other night against the Jets. The other day against the Jets.
Like gun shy.
Yeah, he's going to get down quicker, and he is going to be a lot more cognizant of it than other quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we saw what the Dolphins' offense was without Tua, and it was absolutely dreadful. Was it Huntley that came in and played, I think, in those few games for them? And there's another name that's escaping my mind. I think they had two quarterbacks.
Wasn't Mike White. That was last year.
No, it wasn't a quarterback with the last name White. Anyway, it was two guys that were terrible. The Dolphins' offense, I mean, speaking as a guy who has Tyreek Hill on his fantasy team, completely fell off the face of the planet. So, I mean, I get it because, you know, that offense would fall apart if they're able to affect Tua. I just, you know, overall, I mean, I think that's true for most teams.
4651 says there's nothing that gives me any confidence at all that this team can beat the Dolphins. I think that's kind of where
that doesn't feel too strong to you. Like, I get the idea of pessimism with the Texans because they've earned it for their performance against the Titans and a few other games, but see no reason at all that they could win this game. The Dolphins, like, again, like, the teams they beat during this one are like the Raiders, the Patriots, the Jets. It's not a bunch of world beaters that they're beating. The Jets at home, Jets playing for nothing, and it took overtime.
Yeah, I just think I'm trying to say, when I look at it, am I feeling like, is it more because the Dolphins with Tua are a totally different football team and that offensively they're a really potent offense, especially when they're not playing in cold weather? Or is it that I just look at this Texans team and I go, there's something missing. Like, all year they have been underachieving, and it just feels like when you should be peaking and getting ready to play the schedule, playing your best football, they have been doing anything but that. Now you're going to be down your main signal caller on defense. You're going to be without Petrie from just the line of scrimmage and the backfield perspective of this. And it's not even because we haven't really looked as deeply into Baltimore and Kansas City, but it's like, to start this whole thing, do I feel confident in the Texans, the way they're playing football, to beat the Dolphins or just about anybody else? And the answer is no.
I get the lack of confidence in the Texans. They've earned it. I guess my pushback, maybe I didn't make this or say this well enough, but my pushback isn't that the Texans are playing so well that they deserve the having confidence in them. It's that the Dolphins, to me, haven't proven enough reason to fear them, if that makes
sense.
They
got back in the Green Bay game in cold weather. That game was a lot closer than even the final score indicated.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit garbage timing to me, but, I mean, we can agree to disagree there.
You know, I'm like, pessimistic Chad on the Packers.
Yeah, so. You definitely are. I mean, but just other than that Rams game, and the Rams are so up and down, you never really know what team you're facing with them anyway. I mean, they could be the team that beat the Bills or a team that loses the Cardinals or something. But other than that game against the Rams, which is, I think, more than a month ago at this point, I mean, the wins just aren't impressive. I mean, I get the Dolphins have the big headline sexy names, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, Tua. They've got the names, but they beat the Patriots, the Raiders,
okay,
and the
Brian,
Jets.
Like, Dr. Dre brings up a great point to kind of rebuttal that, which is, well, really, who have the Texans beat? Because you look at the fact that they won 2 out of 3 in a stretch where they should have won 3 in a row.
They beat the Bills, the second-best team in the AFC.
Yeah, that's early in the season, but that's...
Well, I know. I mean, Dre asked the questions. I mean, like, look, and again, my pessimism is more with the Dolphins, so that's still kind of bringing it back to a point I wasn't really making. But if you want to ask the conversation or have the conversation, who have they beat? The Texans have a far better win than the Dolphins do.
But you also realize that there was, 6 or 7 games that you didn't have your best player. If not your best player, your second best player, if Tyreek Hill is your best player, that without Tua, this team is totally different than with Tua. I think that, like I said, I think that their schedule, regardless of who they play, is different if Tua's played the whole year.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to give me a reason to be impressed, and they haven't yet. Like the good teams they face since he's been back, they've lost. I mean, they beat the bad teams. I mean, if they come on the road against the Texans and beat the Texans here, that's a reason to be impressed by the Dolphins. To me, they just haven't done it yet. Winning at home, needing overtime to beat the Jets at home, again, obviously the Texans lost to the Jets, but needing overtime to beat the Jets at home doesn't impress me. Wins over the Raiders and the Patriots don't impress me. I haven't seen the I know Tua's completion percentage is way high because he's throwing a lot of checkdowns and dump offs to Achan and Jonnu Smith, but I just haven't seen like the oh my god offensive performance from the Dolphins to put the fear of God into me for them.
That's fair. I just think that the biggest problem is going to be if you walk away and the Texans lose this game.
Oh, if they lose this game, then
now
yes,
the sky is falling. And everything
if they lose
on
Sunday,
table.
I will fully join you on the panic train.
Yeah, so that's what I'm concerned about right now. Before we even get to game two and game three, and I had a buddy of mine at the gym today that bet me the Texans were going to beat both the Chiefs and the Ravens. And
you
I was
took
like,
that bet, right?
Yeah, I said, name that price. I'll play that game no matter what you want.
You
want to
divulge what the bet is?
He's still making his mind up. He's supposed to let me know tomorrow because I started very high and he wasn't confident.
I wouldn't put it all on the line, but I put a lot on the line.
But I made it two separate bets, too, so that at least I could break even.
Okay,
so
that's smart. That's smart.
So, all right, so we got 30 minutes to go in the show, a little less than that. We're going to come back. We're going to kick it around. Look, I brought this question up the other day off air to Jeremy, and it was worth bringing it up on the air. Is the Texans in need? Are the Texans going to be in need of another wide receiver no matter what happens the rest of the way with the fact that Tank hasn't been Tank of a year ago, with the fact that you lost that? And would you consider Stephon Diggs bringing him back depending on the price? We'll get into that as we get into the final half hour of the program. Back in just a quick few minutes as we take a break here, it's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jeremy out calling some Cougar basketball, BMAC and myself up until 6 o'clock as we continue to roll out with this ever-loving Cougs as we get more of this Texas talk. A lot of feedback, specifically some for you, Brian. But 3977 says the Texans do look bad. But I think they're going two out of the next. They're going to win two out of the next three. Okay.
I'm trying to track and fuddle the logic there. If they're then why are they going to win against two of the best, four teams in the league?
Confusing to say the least.
Yeah.
6167 says, my thoughts, Cowboys and Texans should combine themselves for the remainder, and a championship is guaranteed. I don't know about guaranteed.
I'd want Parsons and CeeDee, although his shoulder's banged up. Rico Dowdle would be a nice backup back to Joe Mixon.
If you got Micah Parsons,
you got Parsons
with the
and
rest
CeeDee
of that defense,
and then Dowdle as the backup running back. There's definitely some pieces I'd want.
Of the defense,
although
back.
Parsons comes with a lot of distraction too.
He's damn good.
He's very good. I would take the distraction. You just have to be willing. You have to be willing to deal with it.
7865 said the last confident win the Texans have was the Patriots, and they don't even have that same team anymore. Who, the Patriots or the Texans? Because obviously Drake May has been playing very, very well for them. But, yeah, the Texans throttled the Patriots. That was a confident win. You didn't see that.
It was May's first start, though. Like, May, I've been impressed by May.
Oh,
I have too. Yeah, but it was his first start ever, so you almost have to kind of grade that on a curve. Maybe that's unfair, but that's kind of how I feel on it.
4631 says, Brian, the Dolphins and the Texans are the same right now.
They're not. They have opposite records. One's 5-8, one's 8-5.
I think he's talking more or less about the way they're playing, not necessarily their records.
They're both teams that had high expectations that have been playing imperfectly. I think there's definitely a comparison there, but my commentary on the Dolphins is not a pro commentary in the favor of the Texans. I have all the same doubts and concerns that you and others have on the Texans. All I'm saying is the Dolphins haven't shown me anything that levels or merits me actually fearing them.
4631 also, Brian, we lost to the Titans at home. We had to kill the Jags quarterback to barely win. We are a bad team in this situation.
I mean, I'll repeat myself again. Yeah, commentary's on the Dolphins, not the Texans.
Right. Look, I think overall, you should feel concerned about this team. You shouldn't have drank enough blue Kool-Aid to believe that this team is just going to flip the switch off of the bye and they're going to be a different team, because you didn't get anybody else. You didn't get new guys back. You didn't get better in any areas. They're not going to make major adjustments systematically to everything from the blocking schemes to the plays that they're calling to the way that they're playing defense. And you're down a player for the next three games, and you're still without Petrie. It's going to be a challenge, and it would be nice if the Dolphins had already mailed it in, that they don't have the outside chance to make the playoffs, and that you could just kind of get this much needed victory before you have to play the two toughest games of the three game stretch. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I mean, look, the dismissal of the Dolphins is not to say that this is going to be an easy win for the Texans. If you heard that, that's not what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to be an easy win at all. I do and will pick the Texans to win. I like their defense more, especially at home. And I like the Texans' offensive pieces against the Dolphins' defense. That's pretty good, but not obviously, you know, they're not the 2002 Ravens or whatever. We saw the Jets, as you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers suddenly turned back the clock and threw for, I think you said, over 300.
319. Like that, yeah.
So this is not a defense, especially on the road, that I would expect to come in and shut the Texans down. And I like the Texans' defense, especially against a Dolphins offense that we've seen struggle, move the ball vertically downfield, and have to kind of settle for a lot of checkdowns. So I do like the Texans to win, but I definitely don't expect to come in here on Monday and talk about a blowout win.
No, I mean, look, Tyler and Conroe said the Texans are 100% the 2016 Astros. They arrived early, and now they're having growing pains this year. Yes and no. I mean, I've been one of the biggest advocates for saying this schedule's really hard this year, and so you can't lose faith if they don't perform as well as they did last year. At the same time, you have to kind of temper your expectations because of the fact that you're playing a much more difficult schedule than years past. But the main thing is you're not playing as good a football, no matter how you look at it. Yeah, and there were slip-ups last year, but you improved this roster all over the place on both sides of the football. You're supposed to be playing at a different level every week, and you're not. You're actually playing to the level of your competition, and that's what's killing you. Because, yes, they beat Buffalo, and, yes, they shut down Josh Allen, and, yes, that was a game that they got up for because it was a big game. But you can't go against Detroit, and as much as ever said, well, you can stay competitive. And someone texted in and said, hey, they were right into the bitter end, and if not for a pass interference call that wasn't called, Texans would have won. No, when you intercept a guy five times and should have had six if Stingley doesn't drop one, you're not supposed to lose that game. It's not supposed to be close. And that's a problem. And then when you play the stretch of games with the teams that even DJ Bieniemy said they were supposed to win all three, and you're supposed to do so handily, you not only didn't do so handily, but you lost one of those games, and now you're facing the toughest stretch of the season.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, they have played to the level of their competition quite often. And we saw that last year, too. I mean, they lost at the Falcons. They lost at the Panthers. They lost at the Jets playing Zach Wilson. So they've lost during this D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud era to teams they shouldn't have, because, like we saw this year with the Titans, and like we saw in the second half, or at least the fourth quarter against the Jaguars, this team is capable of playing down to the team. But if you're someone like I think you are and some of the Texans are that thinks the Dolphins are playing pretty well, hey, maybe the bright side, maybe the silver lining is if the Dolphins are good, the Texans will play up to it.
Let's hope so. But, Brian, so coming off the bye, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If they're going to come off the bye and have made any kind of adjustments and made any kind of changes, what do you think that they would do? Because I think it's unrealistic for all these people to say, hey, change the offensive line. Someone just texted in, hey, I think they need to really focus on the offensive line. No, they can do that in the offseason. What they have is what they have right now. I think that the question is, yeah, the rest was good for this team, but other than that, do you find that there's a certain area or things that they're going to adjust in that bye week from coming off the bye, coming into the Dolphins game, where we might look at it and go, oh, that's different?
I don't think it's going to look dramatically different, no.
I don't either.
And I've heard DJ make this point a few times, but both on our show and on Gallant and George, but especially with the bye being this late, a week 14 bye, I think for the most part, they kind of are who they are. I think it's probably a little late in the season to make a lot of big sale adjustments, especially I mean, you got a week, and a lot of the players are going to be out of town during that extra week anyway. So it's going to be a – it's not like it's training camp or OTAs got all the time in the world to put stuff in. It's one extra week, but the players are off. I mean, they're not in the building for that week. So
yeah, you can be Bobby Slowick, and you can look at everything that you've done, and you can
think
about –
I think they will draw up a few new plays.
Calling plays a little differently maybe, might be something.
Maybe they change – we saw at different times recently the Texans mess with some up-tempo. Maybe they do that. We saw last year when CJ was getting hit early in the season at, like, I think it's 7 sacks in the first 2 games. They went to some more max protection. I think little adjustments like that you could see. Maybe they go more quick passing game. Maybe it's more max protection. But there's not going to be, like, this massive wholesale change that completely changes the way the offense
looks. Yeah, maybe 2 back sets for Mixon if you're going to be worried about the run game blocking. You know, maybe some things to in the pistol where you can move, you know, you can get him into a quick pocket where he doesn't have to sit there as long, so he's not as vulnerable. But I don't expect major changes, and I think that that's the misconception a lot of people have. Oh, coming off the bye, things are going to be different, and they're going to your point, guys aren't even in the building. The coaches are going to have meetings, and they're going to look at things they could do differently, but this team's not going to be able to make the drastic adjustments that people, I think, are hoping for.
No, it's if your expectation is basically they come out against the Dolphins and it's a new-look Texans offense, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed. I think they, like we talked about a minute ago, I think they can come out and put a few new wrinkles in, maybe a few new play designs. I don't know how much on a regular week as far as new plays they would look to install versus, you know, running the same things they have before. Whatever that number is, I think they could do that. Maybe they add 5 new plays in. Maybe they mix in some more up-tempo or some more backs protect, whatever they think is the best way to attack the Dolphins. But it's not going to come out and just look like a completely different offense.
Keith wants to get in here real quick. Keith, what do you got on the Texans?
Hey guys, love the show. I think B-Mac's underselling the Dolphins. First off, they're 6-7. They're 0-4 when Tua was out. That's an entirely different team. They're basically 6-2 with Tua. The whole team is juiced up when he's at quarterback. This game is indoors. They play really well in warm weather and indoor stadiums. I think the Dolphins win this game by 10. They're juiced up. They're playing well. I know Mostert's out. Johnny Smith's having a Pro Bowl season. He had an unbelievable touchdown in that Ravens-Titans playoff game. The Texans are kind of spiraling. And if you look at the common opponent, the Jets, the Dolphins beat the Jets, and the Texans did not.
Keith, you have – well, the common opponent is the Bills, well, too, and the Bills.
The Bills have beaten Miami. Keith kind of dismissed that Week 2 game where Tua got hurt. Well, he called him 6-2 with Tua. I mean – the Bills were destroying them at the time that Tua got hurt. We can't dismiss that as well. The Dolphins would have won that game if Tua had been hurt. That game was in the second half, and the Bills were murdering them. And like you said, that's also a common opponent.
And Keith hung up. I was curious if he thought that they were going to lose to the Dolphins by 10. Does he think that they're going to win any of the next 3 games? Because I would bet against that if he has that attitude against the Dolphins. Because Baltimore and Kansas City, no matter what you think of the way that Kansas City has won, they're both significantly better teams than Miami, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly, if they lose to the Dolphins, I will come on this these airwaves and pick them to lose to the Ravens and lose to the Chiefs. I don't want to say 100% lock because I didn't think they're going to, at least for most of the game, dominate the Bills and make Josh Allen the runaway MVP winner at this point, have his worst game of his career. It was like 9-for-30-something passing. Mm-hmm. They forced the runaway MVP winner into his worst game ever. So I won't completely dismiss the possibility that the Texans play up to the level of the competition like they play down to the level of the competition and pull off an upset in one of those 2 games. But if they lose to the Dolphins, I will be very, very pessimistic on Monday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, speaking of pessimistic, we still got the car wreck of the day to get to. That's coming up next as we wrap up the show. He's Brian McDonald. I'm Joel Blank. We are the Killer Bees. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
You alright?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day. B-Mac, what do you got to lead us off? Let's just be fair. And I know we've got little time. Let's just be fair. Cowboys are number one. We both were going to nominate them. The Cowboys and their special teams and the complete embarrassment that has been the Dallas Cowboys and was last night. We both had them on the list. We can put them there.
We're just moving right past
that's
it.
That's a no brainer.
We're just moving right past it.
No brainer.
I'm going to call out of someone who used to work at the station, a good friend of mine, Josh Beard, who he's in a fantasy league with me, same league that Joe George is also in, a few other people that people might know are around the station. But Josh Beard, at the start of this dynasty league, proclaimed that he was going to make 5 Super Bowls in a row. We were in year 5, so this will be the 5th year of that. Now, to his credit, to his massive credit, it deserves a round of applause. He did make 4 straight Super Bowls.
Ooh.
Won only one of them. So
a good run, bit
of a Buffalo Bills. But this year, in year 5, I'm supposed to be 5 straight Super Bowls. Losing record, did not make the playoffs officially. He was in it to the final week, had a chance, but his team crapped the bed in week 14, and he is out of the playoffs. So sorry, Josh Beard, but you will not be 5 straight Super Bowls.
I actually could have used it this year, but at the same time, I still think it was a pretty solid run
Very impressive run. It was a very impressive run.
Yeah.
But as much grief as he's given us for dominating the league, I had to give it something back when his team finally fell off.
I'm going to nominate the law enforcement in New York and whatever national law enforcement was involved to try and find the killer of the CEO of United Healthcare when a McDonald's worker in Altoona, Pennsylvania solved the case before they did.
Oh, is that the person he stopped and talked to? I thought he stopped and talked to a person. Like, he stopped to flirt with a girl at Starbucks.
No.
And so he took off the hoodie and people saw his face.
Yeah, well, there was obviously a picture out there all over the place. But
right.
We were going on multiple days that they didn't have anybody in custody. And all of a sudden, this guy goes to a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And the people started working there going, he kind of looks like the guy that they're looking for that killed the United Healthcare. So one of them just decided to randomly call the authorities. The police walked in, and lo and behold, problem solved.
It was
him. Got him.
Okay, so they identified him from the thing at Starbucks when he was flirting with the girl, but they found where he was because of the McDonald's of Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I guess I missed that part.
Yeah, the people in the McDonald's of Pennsylvania randomly had seen pictures on the internet, decided to call authorities, and they were right.
Man.
As opposed to all the authorities that, with several days in the rearview mirror, hadn't gotten anywhere near him yet.
Not that I would ever find myself in this situation, obviously, but if I'm going to go down, the last thing is not going to be at McDonald's, man. Like, you gotta, man, make it worth it. Like, I know the McRib is back, that disgusting piece of trash. You can't go down to the cops because the McRib is back. Man, you gotta do better.
And here's the thing. The dude, I don't know, they're still trying to find the motive, and evidently he did leave a manifesto behind that they found.
I mean, he was apparently wrote stuff on the shell casing, so I mean,
he's rich as hell.
Yeah, he's an Ivy League guy.
There's a couple things here. His family owns multiple country clubs and golf courses. He's never gonna have to worry about money in his life. And oh, by the way, from mom to people that are in both local and I think state government, they saw the picture too. And no one decided that they were going to spill the beans?
No, I mean, I can't. Look, this is going to sound like I'm making, I don't know. I'm not going to blame the family for not turning
them in. If you're in public office and you go, that's my nephew.
No, look, I mean, what are we hearing, Goodfellas? You never go against the family.
Well, then you got to pay the price.
Sure. Look, now if they hit him and the feds find out, then they will pay a price for that. Although they're rich and they got lawyers, so maybe not as much as the rest of us. But I don't necessarily blame the family for not turning him in. I don't think I could turn in a family member.
Depends on how close you are to the
family. Yeah, well, okay, good point.
I understand mom not doing it, but...
Yeah, mama's never going to turn you in.
But if Uncle Bob's a senator and Uncle Bob sees that picture, you go, you know...
Will it help his political career? I think he could turn him in if it would help
his
political career.
It could ruin his political career if he didn't do it.
That's a good point.
So there's my nomination.
I'll throw in an additional one. I don't know if you... I think we talked about this when it happened the last time around. But like when Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes had their homes burglarized. But Joe Burrow last night, while he was playing in Dallas, or Arlington that is, against the Cowboys, his home was broken into. So apparently NFL players with 30,
and his personal
40...
life, because evidently it was a
female,
and the female's mom was the one involved as well, and we didn't know who the female was.
There's some more in that story that's a little weird, but my main takeaway is these quarterbacks making $50+ million can't get better security for their home.
Yeah, because there was a guy, because there literally was a paid security guy paid to watch the house.
I mean, come on.
And they broke the back window in the kitchen and got in.
It's bad,
come on, man. All right, what's winning?
Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys were awful. just a complete embarrassment. Enjoy that, Cowboy fans. Maybe you'll bounce back next year. Maybe you won't. Anyway, that'll do it for us. Brian doing all the hard work and double duty. Jeremy doing some Cougar basketball, but being here for the start. Jeremy's out the rest of the week, by the way, so Barry Laminack will be in for the rest of the week as we continue to roll on. Have a great night, everybody. Soccer Matters coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.